Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work. This is a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it's a podcast that's hosted by me, Kyle Sconawill, and my longtime friend from work, Robbie Earl. Robbie, have you felt some of the calm down from Brave New World? We're now shifting gears here a little bit to the next few projects.
Well, and we're shifting gears, but also kind of getting to do something that we didn't get to do before Brave New World, in looking at some of the trailers for the next project. So it's kind of, we normally would have done this in the moment. We apologized at the time that we weren't going to be around to record the episode, but I kind of like it because we were right on the eve of all of Brave New World. I was in the Brave New World mindset, and now the road is clear for all sorts of things, but movie-wise, Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four.
Just in life. Speaking of the road being clear for all sorts of things, I'm going to show you something that has nothing to do with anything for a second. Look at this, everybody. If you're watching on YouTube or Spotify, I got this brand new baby. You ready?
Wow. Look at
this.
This
is my brand new guitar. It's a Danocaster, which is like a custom guy here in town, Nashville. And he makes so few of them that they're hard to find. And I've been investing in my studio, and I finally got the guitar I've been wanting to get. Look at, come on.
That's nice. That's
pretty
nice.
Sexy, right?
Yep. Yep.
It's basically like a Jazzmaster, a custom version of a Jazzmaster. And this is going to be my go-to studio guitar from now on. So anyways, I literally picked that up in between our recording session.
Oh,
so
no way. Wow. Okay. Nice. Yeah. I love that.
Oh, music. Remember when we used to play music together? Okay, anyways.
Look
those
at
are
us.
The days. Those are the days. Okay, here we go. So this is going to be really fun because I am a 9 out of 10 excited for Fantastic Four. It comes out in July. It's coming out the same weekend as Comic-Con, and so you and I are... Whew, we're brainstorming as much as you can brainstorm what that might mean and how that might be a special weekend. And let's just say it has the makings of potentially being a very, very special weekend, because this is probably, outside of No Way Home, maybe my most anticipated post-Endgame project. WandaVision was awesome, but I didn't know that ahead of time. For some reason, Fantastic Four is the one that's just really getting me. And then the fact that maybe we could partner that with a Comic-Con appearance is blowing my mind.
Is it for you?
Yeah, why?
How much of it is Matt Shackman?
A lot of it. 90%, 80%.
Okay, that's fair then.
It's 80% Matt Shackman, and I would say 15% Pedro, like the actors that are playing Reed Richards and Sue Storm. And I think it's because they're kind of quirky choices. And because I love Mission Impossible, the Vanessa Kirby thing is intriguing to me. Like, it doesn't seem like the straight out of the box cookie cutter choice. Uh-huh. And the other Fantastic Four films I remember being so kind of lukewarm that I feel like what they need is a out-of-the-box choice. So those two things and leaning into the 60s aesthetic, I don't know, I'm really excited about it.
No, it like, makes me happy because it feels like the kind of thing that that would be more my scene than yours, in that it's like a little bit more like wholesome feeling, you know, kind of like classic comic book. Like there's a part of me that thinks that these movies are going to be very different inherently for a lot of reasons. But the part of me that loves like Captain America, the First Avenger, I think it makes sense that I would love a Fantastic Four movie that has kind of this approach. But I think I get why like the Matt Shackman piece really appeals to you because of how much you loved what he did in WandaVision. So it kind of feels like a perfect, like it would be way less fun for me if you were not as sold on it. And I love that you are, because I just think that like there are other genres of films that I would think to be more classically Kyle's scene than a Fantastic Four one. But I love it.
It's weird because you're right. Like my scene is Severance. And yet there is a spot in my heart for this kind of thing too. Like I think it's the WandaVision spot. Like, I don't know how to explain why I'm so into that. Although that does have some of the quirkiness and like the guessing of what's happening, like Severance.
Yeah.
It's a totally different genre. But yeah, I don't really know, because I'm not like a massive fan of the old films, and I'm not like a long running comic reader of the Fantastic Four. So I don't know why. I think it just the Matt Shackman part, and it strikes me as so unique. And that's what I'm looking for, I think, more than anything, is not a retread of anything.
I do.
Before we crazy get into the trailer, because I want to watch it here in a second, I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
I had a friend send me an Instagram, like a TikTok reel, essentially, or Instagram reel, rest in peace, TikTok, of somebody from, I think, the New York Times, and don't quote me on that, the New York Times going through what he thinks is a weird trend in Marvel films.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes this argument that I don't agree with, but he makes this argument that, you know, when the comics were created so often, like Spider-Man in the 60s, Daredevil, they're fighting just straight bad guys. Like it's Peter Parker stopping a bank robbery where you don't know the bank robber or, and he goes on that kind of tangent. Then he says, what's kind of strange about the MCU from like the Avengers or 2009 or 8 till now is how much of the conflict is internal. And he makes this argument that it's civil war. It's people arguing about the sides of it. It's colleagues, even in Iron Man 2 of Iron Man that you're fighting with. And where I really didn't agree with a lot of the video, because I don't think that's always the case. But I do wonder if there's a part of me that's a little bit part of the reason I like Avengers Infinity War is because it is the Avengers banding together
separately
to stop an external threat. Like it's all like, okay, when this something arises, we all have to just get on the same page regardless because of this external force. And we've done so much of the internal conflict thing. I do wonder if there's a little bit of truth in that. And a little bit of that intrigues me about Fantastic Four. Kind of like the team that everyone looks to defending against Galactus trying to take over the world, you know?
No, that's an interesting thought. I mean,
I didn't agree with the video, for the record.
Yeah. I mean, I would argue that that's not really... Like the comics, even of the last 20 years, I would say like the most successful ones were not, they were dealing with kind of internal struggles. I mean, that Civil War was like the comic of the decade. And you could kind of argue like Secret Invasion was external, but kind of became this paranoid thing. House of M, sort of similar, like was within the ranks of Wanda losing her mind. So it's like, I think I see that. But I think what's weird for me about it is, and I'm not disagreeing with you, I'm just thinking out loud. A lot of my favorite Marvel movies are the ones that have that like internal conflict in spades, like at the heart of them.
And I think his point in this video is, what does that say about us, like culturally? Like, you know, that part I think you would agree with, because it's like we talk about how certain eras of movies and film and TV and play and stuff like that represent what's happening in culture, you know, like a very hopeful film in the 60s and you know, other post-war films in different decades, et cetera. So what does that say necessarily about our culture from 2008 to 2025 that what's reflected in media is a lot of like internal discord or struggle.
Yeah.
Which I think we probably both would agree with, but again, yeah. where I think it's a lot more my, it's not as simple as that. There are a lot of other examples in those films of, you know, still an external conflict, even if it's someone that Tony Stark knew, it's not an internal conflict. You know,
yeah, so there, I mean, there even were Civil times, War is right. ultimately Zemo. Like, right. there is a villain there. But I think to transition to Fantastic Four.
Let's do it.
On that point, one thing that I... there's so much that I love about the introduction of that group into the MCU that just feels right. But I think the thing that I love the most right now is we haven't really, like, we had that one period really, like, I don't know, 2012 to 2016, where we had like the Avengers existing. But what was interesting is even between Avengers and Age of Ultron, you don't get the sense that they existed as a standing team. You get the sense that they like reunified to take down Hydra and to get Loki's spear and like basically tie up the loose ends from the first movie. So we haven't really seen a world where we have Avengers, like a standing roster of Avengers that all like live in Avengers Tower and people are aware of, like they're kind of these like figures, but not like an ongoing celebrity team. And I love that Fantastic Four is doing that. Like it's kind of doing this like simpler, at least from the trailer that we're about to get into and from what we've read, like a simpler time. People that are like beloved celebrities, like the first family, like they're adventurers.
Kids
they're
not wearing
like,
masks and
yeah, yeah. It's like they're not like military operatives, which is what the Avengers have always been. They're explorers. They're like astronauts. And so, I think it's going to make for a really different flavor, but also make for like a really great juxtaposition when we finally have those characters meet the ones that we know in the MCU. Because I feel like you almost always see in alternate timelines like a really dark version. And I kind of like the idea of them coming from like a little bit more of a like almost a naive place because like maybe their world is actually a little
for sure.
like lighter. And then they have to confront like the realities of this like post blip world,
for sure.
However it comes, but I think it's going to be like a nice merging of things.
Okay, let's you and I watch the trailer together, react, and then we can break it down more in a second. But I'm not going to stop this, so we're just going to play the whole trailer here for a second. Okay, this released I think a couple of weeks ago now. The Fantastic Four trailer releasing in July.
Welcome to the Baxter Building.
We make a point to do family dinner every week. Sunday at 7, on the dot, no matter what. We're all here.
Herbie, how's that sauce coming?
Yeah, I'll be the judge of that.
Man, I love how the thing looks.
Okay. Okay, is this guy good or what?
I want to add a couple cloves of garlic. Not because it's not delicious, I just want to add a little bit of zip, okay?
I got so much to say about this.
When we went up the first time, you couldn't turn invisible. Ben wasn't a rock.
The best pilot in the world.
I get
right
chills
here.
Right there at that moment.
Best looking, he means.
That's a cool shot.
Fire.
Ben has always been a rock. Johnny is Johnny.
Hi.
And I am right here.
I have chills.
Whatever life throws at us, we'll face it together.
That's what I was talking about. And the car.
As a family.
Man.
I had chills that whole time.
Incredible.
Okay, so I have so many things I want to say. Let's just go briefly on some of these because otherwise we'll be here forever. One, I told you this in a different episode. I'm a sucker for the choir stuff. So the music with the Fantastic Four, but also even just the way the trailer starts, the 2 seconds at the beginning, the like it almost feels, again, what's so cool about the 60s aesthetic, the aspect ratio, the coloring right when you see it come on, the way Pedro Pascal says, every night at 7, and then it cuts to Vanessa Kirby, and because the way her face looks, she has this almost unsettled look. There's this perfect thing with the choir, the girl vocals, that you can do with this aesthetic where it's like, everything should be perfect, but look at these tiny little cracks in the glass. And that's like WandaVision, and that's what I love. So even if it's just little look of like, huh, Reed missed last Sunday's dinner. I wonder why. Or whatever. I love this idea that it's not perfect and there's this tiny little crack, and the music and the aesthetic and all that plays into it so much.
Well, and I mean, don't you, well, I do we want to go frame by frame a little bit here, or do we want to, just discuss more broadly?
Do you, let's go frame by frame, but do you want to play it again is the question.
Yeah, let's play it again.
Okay, play it again. And I'll stop when you start talking.
Okay.
But this is the choir I'm talking about right here.
Welcome to the Baxter Building.
We make a point to do family dinner every week. Sunday at 7.
And this is the look I was referencing. What, right here, watch.
We're all here.
Yeah.
Hold on. No, no, in a second. In a second, though, dude.
Herbie, how's that sauce coming?
Yeah, I'll be the judge of that.
He's also got the... Like, I think what's wild to me, pause real quick.
Is this guy good or what?
Hold on, that look right there. That look
right there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, oh, nice. Yep. Man, we're really going to be driving people to the video platform here.
It paused. Yeah.
I love, if you back up like a hair, it is wild to me how much The Thing and Herbie, I mean, are straight out of like a Jack Kirby drawing from the 60s. Like it's wild. Yep. And I just didn't, I know we talk about this, but I think it's always worth highlighting when it's done really well.
Yep.
And we've talked about like Mysterio being another great example of that, of them just leaning in. And
right,
it's not a matter of just doing it. Like sometimes it's like, oh, they're not, you know, we think that they're not bold enough or they're too afraid and they want it to be like sexier. But sometimes it's just the logistics of like translating something from like a two-dimensional comic book page to like a live action movie and it not looking super dumb. And I don't know how they did this after two movies have tried and failed.
It looks awesome, right?
It looks so good. And so like it looks incredible and exactly comic accurate. And I don't always require the latter one, but whenever you can hit both of those. And then again, yeah, same with Herbie, same with Sue Storm and Johnny in terms of like the character designs, even though that's just kind of casting. But even like the wardrobe and makeup there, I think it's like that is such a great like first sign for me, I guess. First step, if you will.
Well, and this is one of the two comics I've ever read. And so I see some of these things too that you're talking about. Now, granted,
which there's something from that comic I want to point out here in a second. Which
well,
is
I was
going to
say, I'm reading a more recent one than what you're talking about, but still, it's hard to explain because I think this is motion capture that we're looking at, and I think that he actually consulted Mark Ruffalo and the Hulk, and I want to say Andy Serkis, like was brought in to help him,
huh?
But
I mean that would make sense.
But also, is there any practical side of it? Because it looks so good. And this is what's so weird to me about the internet is like there were people that were mad about this. And I can't understand what they're mad about. Like we've seen kind of like the fully CGI route, like 100%. And it looks a little weird. And we've seen the practical route and it looks really stupid in this case.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when we talk about She-Hulk. It's just kind of hard to do the practical route without it looking dumb because you got to get a girl that's that huge and how can she change between the two? It's just without wearing a costume, you know, like.
Right. And just the design, like the fact that She-Hulk is not supposed to be like it's easier here, right? When you have like the cracked rock facade allows for some definition to get past the uncanny valley thing.
Right. But She-Hulk is smooth. The skin, there's no texture to it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's keep going. But I think it looks awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this guy good or what?
I want to add a couple cloves of garlic. Not because it's not delicious. I just want to add a little bit of zip. Okay.
I also just like, I mean, really all the actors here, but he especially, I think, is such great casting based on the stuff he's done in The Bear.
Well, and I don't know him at all. So that's going to be a unique experience for me.
Except for Andor.
Good call. Good call. This is a really cool shot to me because this chalkboard's massive and I love seeing Reed's brain at work here. But I don't know if you saw this. Somebody pointed out that it looks like, where I'm going to pause it in a second, he's working on some kind of multiversal traveling thing. It's the same kind of like, look at this little picture on the left here. I'm going to pause it.
Like, B-5.
Right behind his shoulder there, right behind his shoulder there is a little like tunnel looking thing, which would make so much sense. Even the comic I'm reading, he's working on a multiversal core thing, you know? I can't get it exactly right. Sorry, but you saw it.
No. I also...
Watch, I mean, right by the shoulder. Right there.
Okay, yeah. So there, I wanted to pause too because, I mean, it's, you've read this comic that I'm thinking of, the Solve Everything comic, which is the the big kind of Jonathan Hickman opening arc that has become a modern classic. And in the book, he's got this kind of like room that is basically a room of whiteboards where he's like got the massive equations scrawled out. And I feel like they're channeling that, whether like just as a nod or because they're adapting it. But that story in the comics ends with Reed being introduced to all these multiversal versions of himself and the Council of Reeds and knowing now how to travel to different universes. So which ultimately in the comics then sets up the Avengers run that then sets up Secret Wars. So it makes a ton of sense given the trajectory of the MCU right now, but it still makes me really happy to just see that. Like this, that feels so Reed Richards to me in a really satisfying way.
Agreed.
Where we went up the first time, you couldn't turn invisible. Ben wasn't a rock.
The best pilot in the world right here.
Yeah.
Even the trench coat and hat, that's Ben's outfit from like Fantastic Four number one in 1961. So it's just, they're leaning into it so much in ways that they don't have to.
Right, and this is the Matt Shackman-ness of it that I love. Like, to have him watching a clip of him talking about how the best-looking one, and then this shot of the TV turns off, and you see the reflection right here.
And Johnny never caught fire.
You know, I think that's pretty dope. Like, in one shot, showing his insecurity in how he looks.
And even this shot of Johnny here looks like, especially like later Kirby, there's this kind of version of Johnny where he has exactly this kind of blonde hair and he's almost like, his features are almost delicate. Like the Marvel House style of the time was to draw, like, especially later in the Kirby era, these like really handsome, like kind of classically handsome men with this like perfectly like coiffed hair. And I love that they're even channeling that again in a way that you wouldn't have to. Like, there's a way that you could make him just look like cool in a different way, but this feels also like you took like a Kirby or Romita drawing and like attached it to a screen. It's like I'm going to stop saying that, but I think it's really impressive the way that they've been so intent on conveying that stuff, at least from the trailer. And obviously the Galactus design is maybe the best example of that.
And, just how good it looks when he flames on here.
Yeah.
In a second. I think it looks really legit.
Yeah.
Ben has always been a rock. Johnny is Johnny.
Okay, and that shot, which again, I can't pause it exactly on it, has stirred a lot of questions about, do you know what I'm gonna say? Is she pregnant? Right there. Because on that shot, it looks like maybe, and I'm not trying to judge, maybe they're trying to show that she's early signs of pregnancy, which, according to my comic, would be an important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That is really interesting. I had not heard that, but that's a really interesting question.
I'll try one more time here. See if I can.
Johnny is.
I can't stop it on it. But that shot right there with the white shirt. But her kids play a big role in the comic I just read. So
yeah. And Franklin especially is like, depending on the run you're reading, this like all powerful being within the Marvel universe, their oldest son. So I think that it'll be really interesting if they hit that in movie one. But you know, again,
or
I feel like
what if
sometimes
she's just barely pregnant and that's it?
Yeah,
and we know like it's a little nod to like it's coming, but you know,
it sucked to have to go through Secret Wars pregnant.
Yeah. I mean, if she's pregnant in that shot, it's like really early on. So, you know, maybe she can make it still.
Johnny.
Hi.
And I am right here. Whatever life throws at us, we'll face it together.
What's happening right there? What is that? What am I looking at?
So I think Galactus in the comics, generally, what he's doing is feeding off of like the energy of a planet, and then it leaves the planet like emptied out and destroyed. And I'm like, maybe that's kind of what this is.
Like he's behind cloud of smoke and explosion.
I mean, it could, because it could be like his, I don't know. It all depends, I guess, on the way that they have Galactus, like what his goal will be. But I think it's kind of, that's how I take it. And I also wonder, is this an opportunity for, like, we've assumed, I guess, that they will come over into our universe for Secret Wars, or at least meet up with the heroes in our universe for that. If that's the case, part of me wonders if they go for like the boldest swing and the Fantastic Four, like Infinity War style, just loses and they have to basically like evacuate their home universe and that's it. If so, that would be incredible, but also like kind of a bold first entry. So I don't know if we're going to be seeing like planetary destruction here,
okay.
But that's kind of what my mind goes to, because there are some precedents for that within Fantastic Four comics as well.
Okay.
I also love that the Thing masks are so ugly. Like they really show like what the kids are wearing is like, it looks like a goblin or something, which I think would like exacerbate the insecurities for Ben.
And this car, right? So dope.
The Fantastic car.
As a family.
Man.
And you're pleased with what Galactus looks like?
I mean, I am, from what we've seen. I think Galactus is arguably the most ridiculous looking like Marvel villain.
Yeah.
But again, it's like you have to, if you lean into it in the right way, it can work. If you try to like shy away from it and just make him like an amorphous cloud, then at that point it's like, we'll just pick a different villain. But
that's true.
I was thinking about, you know, Kevin Feige, when he was still like an assistant producer on the X-Men films, he was the one, I think, that persuaded Bryan Singer and the rest of the team to make Wolverine's hair like the points on the side. Like they were going to not do that. And which kind of makes sense. Like you go back and look at it and it's like no one's hair actually looks like that.
But he was from the get-go fighting for the comic accurate look.
And I think what I love is that it's not even Feige being like a hardcore fanboy. I think it's just him knowing that if you want to do it well, you honor the material where you can. Like you don't, that doesn't always mean just adapting things beat for beat, but this feels like the most we've seen that since maybe the early Holland films.
Yeah.
In terms of just like an intentionality there.
And at the very end, there's that shot of John Malkovich, which I'm looking it up. I don't think we know what he's playing, right? It doesn't list his name under the cast. I mean, it lists his name. It doesn't say his character.
I feel like we did at one point, but I can't remember. And I also never know what's like a rumor and what's confirmed. I think at one point people thought that he might be a voice for Herbie, which is obviously not the case.
Well, he's in the trailer though.
Yeah. So.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with this same thing for Thunderbolts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, let's just run it back. Here, without me stopping it, is the Thunderbolts trailer. This is the Super Bowl big game TV spot, so a little bit different than the other trailer, but this is kind of more of a full trailer to me and less of a teaser. We got to see a villain here in a second. So here we go, Thunderbolts trailer.
Let's talk facts. The Avengers are not coming. Who will keep...
That's insane.
The American people safe.
There's some big threat out there, and you are gonna help me stop it.
Wait, us?
Yeah, you. Why, you got some place to be?
I love that guy.
So none of us comply?
That shot right there is so sick.
Shoot?
I can't think of a worse group of people trying to work together.
Stop! Me, John, stop!
Everyone here has done bad things. You can't escape the past.
Hey, it's like your mind is somewhere else. Mm-hmm.
So you can do something about it now, or live with it forever.
This could get messy.
No shit. You thought you were gonna be some great saviors? You can't even save yourself.
This right here.
We can't do this. No one here is a hero.
Lena, when I look at you, I don't see your mistakes. That's why we need each other.
Okay, that was really good.
We are the Thunderbolts!
Can't call ourselves that.
God, thank you.
Man. This has makings of team. And raise to glory. Bring light from the darkness. This team can be the heroes on the Wheaties box. With a little giddy toy.
And then they put out a picture of them on the Wheaties box. Can you see that?
Alexi, have you slept?
I'll sleep when I'm dead.
I'd like not to die today, so maybe somebody else be driving.
Man, okay. I love that trailer, by the way.
I love it, too. Where do you want to start? I want to start with the overall concept for a second.
Yeah.
I praised this before. In the same way, the Fantastic Four trailer seems to nail the aesthetic of what they're going for. There's mm-hmm. something to this, and it's so hard for me to put my finger on the grittiness of this trailer that I feel like they're nailing the aesthetic. It's the void stuff. It's like, here's a really stupid and simple thing that shouldn't matter. Okay. This shouldn't matter. And you'll appreciate this as a costume guy.
I'm appreciating that you know what the Void is.
There's this movement. Well, hey, there's this movement online talking about how, you know, Tony Stark eventually developed nanotech and then what his suit ups look like into his Iron Man helmet post nanotech. And with the vibranium tech in Brave New World, for example, they again just kind of do this thing where the helmet just appears on. Like,
yeah,
goes,
yeah.
And I understand from a nanotech perspective why that makes sense. And I understand how it's not a big deal. So don't take this the wrong way. But like, even in this trailer, it's kind of back to Ghost has like a mechanical helmet that comes down. And I think there's like a subtlety there that I really appreciate. It's like way they're blowing up cars. It's the way it's color graded. The way we get a shot when Yelena jumps off that skyscraper, that if you pause it, looks like they got someone to like parachute off a skyscraper for that shot. Yeah. And they had a helicopter up there. And it's the way the helmet goes on. It's all the stuff that I leave going, wow, that feels really tangible and gritty in a way that, like I said, Fantastic Four is leaning into the 60s aesthetic. This is leaning into that. And that's my biggest takeaway that I love.
No, it does. It feels tangible. And man, I've thought that, like, even in the first Black Panther movie, you know, there's the moment where Shuri has him trade out the prior armor for the like nano armor, basically. And she's, you know, the joke is like, oh, someone's shooting at me, I have to put my helmet on. But even that, when I go back and watch it sometimes, makes me a little bit sad because the helmet just feels so like solid, like the Civil War outfit. And then it's like, there's like, I get it, it's all CG to some extent, but there's something where it's just like, oh, we're just okay, now we know we're drawing things on top of a person with some level of like mocap or animation. And I do like, it's like in Homecoming, I love when Peter like pulls the mask off and it's a mask like in his hands. And we got some more of that at points in the other ones as well. But I think it's like, it's the same reason I don't love the Stark suit for Spider-Man compared to the other ones.
Yeah, yeah. There's something about even like the first Iron Man suit up where it actually takes him like 45 seconds. That's kind of fun. It's like, oh, he's got to like get into it. Now, I understand it makes sense that Tony would progress his technology and need a faster way to suit up. But there's just something tangible about the, you know, the famous like shoot the tank and walk away. Like that helmet looks like I could just put that on, you know, like, and I could wear it. And so like when he's standing there and he's having to like get all the work done, it's like, that's kind of cool. It's like he's being assembled.
Even the Civil War one, when he's like in the helicopter.
Yeah. To see all the pieces come out and
the
Iron Man 2 suit up is so underrated on the track out of the briefcase. Sure. You know, although, like having to do all the.
I love the briefcase suit. I will say, I feel like the Infinity War suit gets a lot of like that suit up scene gets a lot of hate. I still think it's kind of like a badass scene
terms
of like the putting the glasses on and
for sure.
But I do still like one thing that I thought was a great change for that I think we kind of see reflected here is even just between Infinity War and Endgame. In Infinity War, it like kind of like it materializes onto
it's
his
still
face.
Slower, yeah.
But in Endgame, it like clangs down, like there's a faceplate that like if you notice it's like a separate thing. So he still has the nano suit. But there's like a little change in the suit up animation. Hmm. And even little things like that, I think, can make a difference.
Okay, let's go through this with a few more specifics. Here you go.
Yeah, I have some questions for you.
Let's talk facts.
This feels very Wakanda Forever, which I like.
And we already see Bucky in his same kind of government garb, it looks like. So.
Oh, I missed that, actually.
Yeah, watch. I'm gonna go back 1 second.
Let's talk facts. The Avengers are not coming.
It's in a second. So we'll get there. It's in a second, so let's get there in 1 second. This is the takeaway of the trailer for me. This is so cool. Holy balls, what an imagination here. I don't know how, like on paper, what this reads that he's doing to these people. Yeah. But the visualization and the call to just have them kind of like disappear into the streets and almost just leave a shadow as if it's like a nuclear missile shadow, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Is just so clever. Like, this is genuinely horrifying. This.
Yeah.
The American people safe.
And there's Bucky.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he's kind of wearing the pin and, you know.
But you see, it's like, yeah, longer hair than we saw in Brave New World. So I don't know how much time's supposed to have passed.
But isn't that cool with the villain there? That shot of him canceling them into the sidewalk.
Yeah. What do you know about the void?
So I don't know much. And there's one thing I read online that I don't want to repeat because I wish I didn't know it. And some people, I would say 85% of people likely don't know it. So I'm not going to say this thing.
I think I probably know what you're saying.
So I don't know a ton. I just have read that term and like a brief summary of what that means.
I do think, just because I have a lot of faith in this movie again, and I don't want to set expectations too high, but everything I see about it, including, by the way, I keep talking about the cinematographer on this movie, but I love it so much already. I really want to get him on the show because I would also love to talk about his work on Moon Knight Episode 4. But I like, correct, this is what I want, like, the next phase of Marvel movies to look like, at least like the kind of ground level side.
This shot that I'm paused on, it's so simple, but doesn't even the lighting look like Dark Knight era?
Yeah.
Like, this looks like he's in a Nolan film to me.
I also, like, while we have this frozen here, I am just, I'm really happy for, Sebastian Stan, because he's kind of having a moment some of the performances he's being recognized for, which are,
I'm having
weird to talk about.
Of a moment.
It is timely, but I think I recently watched the Apprentice. I don't know if you've seen that, the Donald Trump movie.
No,
he is insane. Like, he is just. Zero commentary on the movie, but Sebastian Stan, like, I actually have not seen him. It's like a Christian Bale as Dick Cheney level, like, inhabiting a role. And it, like, gives me a newfound respect for him as an actor. And it makes me really excited to see him kind of take the lead in a movie like this that I'm so excited for anyway.
Yeah. Do you think he's the lead here? Or is Yelena the lead? Or is it a true...
I mean,
split up between them?
I think Yelena is the primary lead and Sebastian is the second, and then probably David Harbour. But Florence Pugh is one of the bigger movie stars at the moment. So I think it makes sense for them to lean into that.
Yeah, that's another thing this movie has going for it, just the Sebastian Stan and Florence Pugh of it all. A lot of people are already speculating about how few shots in this trailer contain Taskmaster. So there's already kind of a movement about rest in peace, Taskmaster.
I've noticed that. We haven't seen any shot of her without the mask on, have we?
No, and that'll be fascinating to follow too, because Black Widow didn't really leave that door super open. I felt like she got cured, essentially.
Oh, right.
With the serum. And so I guess it doesn't cure of her abilities and her, like, brain processing power, like the computer chip in her brain.
Basically. Yeah. I think she just doesn't. She now has control over her actions, but I think she still has all the same skills, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's continue.
Yeah.
There's some big threat out there, and you are going to help me stop it.
Wait, us?
Yeah, you. Why, you got some place to be?
I love that guy.
Like, Taskmaster's not there.
So do you think, like, oh yeah, true. So do you think Bucky is, like, in, like, he's a congressman and he's, like, heading up a committee or something, and he's being tasked with handling this one way or the other? Is that how we're getting the Thunderbolts?
I think he must report to Val somehow. And so has Val worked her way up and... under the table, she's convinced Bucky, or by way of government or legality issues, like, has she gone by the book? and he's a congressman. I mean, here's the thing. If Bucky's a congressman, doesn't most of America know who he is? Like, I feel like he's recognizable as the Winter Soldier in all these projects, right?
So, yeah, like, I mean,
he would have had to have done a lot of, well, I guess in Falcon Winter Soldier, a lot of the people don't remember him.
Yeah, I think, like, I think he's known, you know, like, his picture's everywhere right after the UN bombing. And I forget, like, he gets a pardon, we find out, in Falcon Winter Soldier. And I guess, like, after that, there's the blip and everything. So people, it just isn't a huge focus, and he cuts his hair. But I feel like he's not, like, there is a, there are all these moments in Falcon Winter Soldier where he's intentionally, like, keeping a low profile. People don't recognize him.
I just ask that because do you think he's running for Congress and telling people he's also, like, got these abilities? Or is that all under the table?
I think so. I think everybody would, because people know who he is. I mean, because there is, like, there's that whole thing at the Smithsonian that he goes to see in Winter Soldier. So, like, people know who James Buchanan Barnes would be. I'm curious, like, it reminds me a little bit of the Suicide Squad dynamic with Flag and Amanda Waller. And I don't think it's going to be the same thing because, like, Bucky's a very different character than that. But I am, like,
these people are all not as quote unquote bad as the Suicide Squad. It's one thing I can't get out of my head is like Ghost has kind of redeemed her character.
Yeah.
By the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp. And Yelena used to do bad stuff, but now she's like breaking out widows from their mind control-ness. Like, she's doing good stuff.
I mean, so she did try to kill Clint, but...
Kinda, yeah. That's where it's like... It's not quite the same as the Suicide Squad as far as they're not a bunch of villains that are forced to, at the like threat of death, do that stuff.
They're all people that have made very significant mistakes, whether like they should be held accountable for them or not. Like, I think you could argue that Yelena should not be, because most of what she did was against her will. Walker is not a bad guy, but obviously did really bad things. Red Guardian did really bad things, but like, yeah, it's like they're all, they live in more of an anti-hero space. They're not like recovering villains.
Right. Psychopaths or...
Yeah, like they, I think that the difference is they all want to do, they want to be doing what they think is the right thing. Like, none of them are like driven by like greed or want to like hurt people for the sake of hurting people.
Let's continue.
So none of us comply?
That's the shot right there. That's the shot I was talking about.
That, like, looks very dark.
I don't think you get that shot without taking, maybe the only thing in that shot that's CGI'd is the person falling. Like, maybe that's a CGI person, but it sure looks like they took a drone or a helicopter up there to film that.
Yeah.
I could be crazy, but.
So what, do we all just punch and shoot? I can't think of a worse group of people trying to work together.
Stop! Come on, it's me! It's John, stop!
Where are you?
That's funny.
I also love Wyatt Russell, and I liked his performance a good bit in Falcon Winter Soldier, and even more on my last watch. But I think this is going to give him so much more to do. And I'm excited about like the little dynamic that we see between them and Yelena feels like it's clicking.
For sure. I understand that. I understand that. By the way, there was the helmet that I was talking about on Ghost.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
You can't escape the past. Hey,
like there's Taskmaster.
Somewhere else.
So you can do something about it now? Or live with it forever.
This will get messy.
No shit. You thought you were going to be some great savior?
Okay, that voice is unbelievable. It starts like a normal voice, and then it turns like almost...
You can
like
hear almost, that it's Lewis Pullman.
Right. It turns like almost robotic, like two voices at the same time kind of thing.
Yeah, man.
And then this shot, this is another example of like... Something about this shot, I don't know how they did it or how it's different, the cinematographer, whatever. Like, think about the way WandaVision looks when Wanda flies away at the end and how we've critiqued that. The actual look at think about that compared to this.
You can't even save yourself.
Yeah. Like, doesn't that look like tangible or like they actually did that somehow or something? I don't know. It just feels really gritty. Also, we got to obviously call out the Avengers Tower-ness of all this.
Which, man, I'm telling you, even the, I was talking about the breakout storyline in our Brave New World review, which is also where Sentry shows up, which is also where Avengers Tower shows up. They are like mining some of my favorite comics from the Bendis era.
We can't do this. No one here is a hero.
Lena, when I look at you,
I don't see your mistakes. That's why we need each other.
Okay, that was really good.
We are the Thunderbolts!
Can't call ourselves that.
God, okay, pause real quick. Why? Okay, we have now seen Brave New World.
Yeah.
There's no way this is not somehow connected to Ross. Is it, would the team be like named that tentatively based on like this terrible thing that happened to Ross and therefore it's kind of in his honor, or as this like we're doing this so that whatever happened to Ross can't happen again and we don't have Avengers? Like, where do you think the Thunderbolts name is coming into this?
Right, I don't know. And when Bucky says, we can't call ourselves that, do you think he is meaning, like, as just, like, a sarcastically, like as a joke, I don't like
that's
the
a dumb name?
Yeah, it's a dumb name. Or is he meaning, like, I don't know, he almost says it too aggressively as if, like, there is a meaning.
Well, because,
like, with Ross or something, like, we can't go by that name. And where does it even come from, then?
Well, and I noticed in Brave New World, there was a really intentional line where, I think it's Sam talking to one of the president's aides. Maybe it's one of the Isaiah conversations. Anyway, someone says, like, this is Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross we're talking about, and he earned that nickname. Like, they make a point to, like, emphasize Thunderbolt and then emphasize, like, why he got the nickname. So I just can't imagine that that there's not some kind of through line, but Brave New World did not make it apparent at all what it would be. So I don't know.
Yeah. Again, there's something there. You don't just make the movie with an asterisk and have all this talk about we can't call ourselves that and then just get to the movie and it's actually Thunderbolts with an asterisk. You know, like, there's got to be some reason.
But then thinking, like, if they did like the Dark Avengers or New Avengers thing that we've speculated about, now I'm almost wondering, like, that would start to get really confusing because how do people refer to the movie? Like, and you don't want like a dark, you don't want an Avengers movie to come out kind of halfway a year before you have the return of the actual Avengers movies with Doomsday.
Right. And I don't know a ton about the Dark Avengers, if anything at all, but like, if they're fighting for the right thing or the good side eventually, there's no way that like these five are all going to be part of the main Avengers team by Secret Wars, right? Like Red Guardian's not going to be an Avenger, right?
Well,
I think Yelena and Bucky could be.
Yeah. Yeah, but even then, I think that Yelena, I think, has the best chance. Bucky, I just think, has already done that. Like, I feel like what I like about Brave New World and here is we're kind of seeing him emerge in a different role. And I'm not really sure that that character is best suited to be a part of an Avengers type team anyway. Like, I think that Bucky is at his most fun when he's doing like his,
yeah, I remember you,
like,
said that,
kind of espionage type morally gray stuff. But Yelena, I could see becoming, like, there is a spot for a character like that on the Avengers, and not
a
just
straight up
Natasha
stand in. Yeah.
Yeah.
You.
This has makings of team.
The elevator.
Yeah, the callback to the elevator.
Yeah.
Can rise to glory.
bring light from the darkness.
That's crazy. I don't know anything about this dude, but he can just levitate and throw helicopters around.
It
kind of plays into the what they're messing with in the trailer. Like, there's no way this group of people could stop a guy like that.
Which again is kind of a nice. It's similar to Brave New World in that it's almost like it's a move in the right direction power level wise. Like, I feel like for a bit there, it was like expanding a little too much in terms of like the amount of like the new heroes and how powerful they all were. So I think it's kind of nice that we're seeing like a little bit of balancing. But I like too that Sentry, like, they're going to be able to do some fun kind of Superman type stuff and see like your kind of quintessential Marvel hero go against kind of like a pastiche of the quintessential DC hero, but with another element at play that I think is going to be really interesting, but I'm guessing is what you were talking about that I probably don't want to get into until the movie reveals
I think you're right. And isn't Superman Mission Impossible the final one potentially, and this movie all in July? I think they're all in July.
I think so. Yeah.
That's a month.
This team can be the heroes on the Wheaties box.
Like, even that scene of them all just like trying to lift it up, but like John and I mean, like, John, Red Guardian, and Bucky all have like the super strength, but like Yelena doesn't. She's just kind of like, I love those little moments where it's like, it matters that like they all need, because even like Steve was crazy strong, but he wasn't like, he wouldn't be able to lift something like that on his own either. So there is this sense like, you actually do need the whole team. You don't have like a Thor that, or a Hulk that could ostensibly like do the whole thing by themselves.
Good point.
With a little kitty toy.
Kitty toy. So it seems like they're walking into that darkness or the void or whatever that is at the end there.
Alexei, have you slept?
I'll sleep when I'm dead.
I'd like not to die today, so maybe somebody else should be driving.
I've pointed this out, but like even that shot there of the car exploding, like, again, just the fact that they went to the desert and blew up cars makes me happy.
Yeah.
This right here. You know, it's so subtle, but it looks and feels really tangible.
Man.
So I think for me, Fantastic Four, I'm like a 9 out of 10 excited for. In that film, I'm like a 7.5 or an 8 out of 10. So these in general, I would be more excited for than a lot of the more recent projects. I would say I'm more excited for that than Deadpool and Wolverine. And going back, I'm probably more excited for that than Guardians 3 and the Marvels. Like, this is where I feel like, yeah, we're tracking now. We're tracking.
Yeah. No, I and this one for me, I think, makes me excited because it kind of has the stuff about Brave New World that had me excited, just in that we're kind of moving the ball forward, like we said. But I just am loving everything I see from the creative choices. So it's like I'm more excited about Fantastic Four in a vacuum. But in terms of what it means for the MCU, I am kind of more excited for Thunderbolts, like, as an installment, if that makes sense.
Yeah. We'll just have to see how much of the Fantastic Four ends up tying into like Doomsday. Like, does the very end of the film, again, is it a stinger, or is it the whole last third that their universe is crumbling or something and they need help or whatever? So I don't know. Okay. So still so much coming up. Thanks for coming along with us. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to spend more time touching base with Daredevil and Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, which both of us have been really enjoying. So I think probably next week or 2 weeks from now episode, we'll start fully turning towards Daredevil and the saga so far and getting that going. And then also reflecting on Spider-Man. Which we've been enjoying. So thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. We'll see you right back here. Same place, same time, right here on Friends from Work.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.